Well, colorblindness is actually a misnomer. Real color blindness, which means the inability to differentiate colors, is really quite rare, very rare indeed, in fact. What most people have is color vision deficiency, where there will be, in the congenital type, a congenital abnormality in the retinal receptors responsible for colour vision. You could also get unusual colour vision in people with ocular disorders. We would then call them acquired colour vision deficiencies, and obviously they can occur as frequently as ocular abnormalities can occur. But in the congenital variety, there's about 8% of men have a colour vision deficiency of some sort, and about 0.4% of women. So it's much rarer in women than it is in men.
Can you find that you go through life and not realise you have a colour deficiency?
Indeed you can. Depending on the extent of the colour vision anomaly, somebody with a mild colour vision deficiency may well be completely unaware that their colour vision is just slightly different from everybody else's.
What sort of walks of life does this affect? You know, are you involved with ascertaining people's level of colour vision?
I am, yes. It's important for people who are in a career where the correct identification of colours is important. Now, thankfully, in most careers, that's not important at all. But in some it is, and the kind of careers are like in the police, the fire brigade, the armed forces, in the merchant marine. In all those kind of occupations, it's the ability to detect coloured signals. So we do assess people's colour vision who are thinking of trying to join those kinds of professions, yes.
I mean, I know that I have some kind of colour deficiency. I have a macular condition, but I don't know what level it is. I do know that I get my socks, black and blue socks, mixed up all the time. Uh-huh. And I have problems with websites that are coloured.
Yep.
I don't know if that's a common thing.
Well, I mean, in your case, your colour vision will presumably be disturbed because your foveal cones or your macular cones have been disturbed, and no doubt you'll have other anomalies to your vision apart from your colour perception. So you would have what we call an acquired colour vision deficiency, and you would need to do a variety of tests to ascertain what type and how severe your colour vision anomaly was.
Right, now I believe you're going to give me a test now just to get a rough idea of what my colour level of vision is.
Yes, we can do that. We could do some fairly simple tests which will give us some idea as to the kind and extent of your colour vision anomaly.
Okay, let's have a go.
Now in this test I've got a box of coloured caps. Now I'm taking these out and you'll see that I've left one in the left hand side of the box. And I just give these caps on the table a little stir to make them randomly distributed.
Mm-hmm.
And then what you've got to do is to look carefully at this colour that I've left in the box and select one of the colours from the table which most closely resembles that colour you see in the box.
Okay,
then,
I'll have a look.
Pick it up.
I find that my vision changes. One minute a colour looks a certain way, and if I look at it again, it doesn't look so much the same. Right, I would not make a very good poker player, would I? There we go. I'll try that.
That's lovely. Now, that's great. So now you've put that one by the colour that was in the box. So we've now got two colours in the box. Now what you've got to do, of course, is select a colour from the remainder, which most closely resembles this.
Right, I will go for that one.
Lovely. And
carry on.
Carry on, exactly.
Right. And I suppose these are graded, that there is a correct way that these would come together.
Yes, I'll perhaps show you that at the end.
Right, now we've gone from kind of lilacs to me to kind of pinkies to kind of peach colours.
Right, that's fine. But what you've got to do now is select one from the remainder, which most looks like the one you've just put in there, that's that one, right?
Right, and then next again.
Right. Just five more to go.
This is harder than my driving test was when I used to drive. Right, how did I do?
Well, I'll show you how you did. You've... the first couple were okay. But in this third one, you've selected what to me is a purple-looking colour next to a turquoise-looking colour.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I think it would be more usual to select, say, this one.
Right.
But what we could do, if we turn the test over, we can read off the sequence that you've chosen. It was 1, 2, 15, and it should go 1, 2, 3. So you've made a misjudgment there. And there's one or two others going down the way there. What we do with that result, we would plot that out on a little graph, which would help us to identify the type and the severity of your colour vision anomaly.
Right, that's interesting. So you kind of build a picture from each test.
That's exactly right, yeah.
Somebody in my position, obviously it will vary on what colour deficiency they have. Is there anything that, you know, I can do that actually would increase my colour perception of things?
Not really. What you can do is you can alter the balance of colours. Some people do this where they've got a particular need by wearing a coloured filter in front of one eye, and that changes the colour balance of the visual world. And it enables you to do better on some of these colour vision tests because you're upsetting the balance of colours that the designers used when he was designing the test. But it doesn't improve, that in itself doesn't improve your colour discrimination. It simply alters the pattern of colours that you may confuse one with another. You know, you're confusing one pattern without the filter to a slightly different pattern with the filter.
So someone in my position then, really just this test shows me the areas I have problems with, and I've really got to work around that.
For people with congenital colour vision deficiencies, who, you know, you have that at birth, so they grow up with this lack in their colour vision perception, and they unconsciously adapt and make more use of other bits of information in the visual world about what's going on.
Can this be a precursor to another condition coming on?
No. If, as I say, the vast majority of people who have a colour vision anomaly, it will be a congenital one. And I think it's useful to know that you have it, so it's really useful for children to have their colour vision assessed. And as you know, it runs in families, so I think that's it's important because it will affect other family members, or other family members may have a similar colour vision deficiency, and in turn they can pass it on to their children when the time comes. So I think that's important. It's important too for career advice. You want to keep people away from certain careers who have colour vision anomalies. But it's a stationary or static condition. Not in your case, because you've had something else. You've acquired a colour vision anomaly. and obviously that needs to be
regularly monitored. And this may evolve, or as time goes on?
Well, it'll evolve as the disease process itself goes on. And of course, in some clinical circles, they use colour vision testing to help them identify the time course of the disease process, you know.
Okay, Professor Heron, thank you very much. It's actually explained it to me. I know I've got to live with it, but it's made it a lot more understandable. Thank you.
You're very welcome.